Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ.
Would hold ourselves up as any sort of perfect example of even the topic we're discussing. But it is maybe a way to start some conversations. And I appreciate each one of these men. Jeff Loveless is with us, Darren Dykes, Monty Tatum, Mark McMean, and Jerry Pritchett. And so I know some of you who may be newer to Graymere haven't got to know them yet, but I think after tonight you'll be blessed by what they have to say. So we're kind of going to be passing some mics around, and we're kind of going to be just sort of going back and forth and talking a little bit. But I think I'll start... Jeff, if you don't mind, I'll start this way and we'll work across here. But I thought it would be good for us to start off with just this question. In your Christian life, in your journey as a Christian, I've asked each of these men to share some passages of Scripture that have been helpful to them, that have kind of helped them as they've lived the Christian life, and sort of why those passages were so important and what it was that helped sustain them. So, Jeff, we'll start with you and we'll work our way across.
Yeah, I think just generally speaking, at different points in my walk, different passages have stood out and helped with things. But lately, the two main ones, Matthew 28 and verse 19, that says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." That one, it came out of a discussion actually that Darren and I had kind of. What's the nuts and bolts, so to speak, of what your job is as a Christian? What is it we're supposed to be doing with our Christianity? And that was one of the ones that stood out. And really, that was the verse that sort of got me looking more towards missions, which was why when Jonathan asked me to go, I immediately said yes, because I think I'd maybe just had that discussion with Darren, and then there you go. I get the opportunity, so why not go ahead and take it? And another one is Mark 12, 30 and 31. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And I think those three things essentially is what Christianity, if you really wanted to boil it down, that's what we're here to do. Love God, love others, and then go and make other Christians.
I agree with Jeff's two. I had four, and two of the four were the two that he had mentioned. I think those two are two of them, to me, two of the most important verses. If you were asked by someone to boil down the essentialness of the Bible into two verses, which would be nearly impossible, but I think those would be two of the ones I'd pick. And the other two that have been important in my life are Acts 8:36. This is a verse that was used in a Devo when I was at church camp and became baptized. And as y'all know, Acts 36, it says, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized?" And that just reached me in a way. It's like, why do you keep thinking there'll be another day, there'll be another day? Now's not the time. I want to do it in this certain setting. It's like, now. And that's always stood out to me, is that's kind of what that verse has meant to me. And another one is Philippians 4:11. "I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances." That's very difficult for me, because that's something I'm always trying to strive for, no matter where I'm at whatever station in life. I think that's something I look back thinking, Paul was able to do this. I need to be able to find a way to be content no matter what's going on in my life. And he gave the perfect example of being able to do that, whether it's in having a lot or having little or imprisoned or whatever, he found a way to do that.
Powerful, and he had to learn to do it too, so it didn't always come easy. Monty?
The first one that stays on my heart is from Proverbs chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. And for me, that sort of is where my mind tends to come back to every time that I think about what do I need to do to make sure that I'm truly following the Lord. And when I think of the New Testament, in many respects, I think of it by what hat I'm wearing. And when I'm a classroom teacher, a Bible teacher, I can't help but be drawn to 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. Even though Paul was speaking to young ministers, many of the concepts that he tells them applies to me as a Bible school teacher. And when I think of just making sure that I am living my life for Jesus, I'm drawn to the Apostle John and what he wrote to the different congregations in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And, you know, I could go on and on in that for me, it's more major books that I'm drawn to than specific verses. Because I think, especially as a student of the Word, we've got to make sure that we're drawn to the Word. And I try to, on a yearly basis, to get through the Gospels at least 3 or 4 times, as well as the entire Bible, because I think it's good for us to have the entire Scriptures to make sure that we can go back to and draw from.
I guess, first of all, when someone asks you your favorite Scripture, and you tell them that one of them is in Micah, you get sort of a strange reaction sometimes, but I guess my entire life, Micah 6:8 has been one that I just really appreciated, I think because of its simplicity, when it says that what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. It's a 3-point sermon in one verse. And it talks about my behavior, about my relationship with my fellow man, and my relationship with God. And it's one that's just, it's always just really, I've just been captured by it. The other one I'll mention is one that we hear, I guess, more often at funerals, the John 14. And I think it goes deeper than that. I think it's not only deals with grief. At that point in time, I think Jesus was dealing with every negative emotion possible, doubt, fear, just panic. And for him to just calmly say, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. That had to be just a tremendously calming influence, but I think it should be for us as well. And then at the end of that chapter, he says it again in the 27th verse. He said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And I think what could be more encouraging, more reassuring than the words that our Lord used to reassure and encourage his own disciples.
Absolutely. I've got two verses that have been my life's creed, so to speak, that I used to have hanging on the wall of my study before we moved down here, and now I don't have enough wall space for them. But one of them is 1 Thessalonians 4:11. Aspire to live quietly, to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands. And the other one is Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. I'm a guy that sort of likes to stay in the background and not really be out front, so to speak, most of the time, even though I've served as an elder and I've been a deacon and several times. And I teach Bible classes, but just basically like to stay behind the scenes. And these verses, I think, apply very much to that philosophy and also my life. A couple of other verses that I've thought about. Darren was mentioning Philippians 4:11. A verse that goes with it is Matthew 6:34. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles. There was a time in my life several years ago. I don't know if you're familiar with the stress scale, where they assign certain points to life events. The person that did that said if your points add up to somewhere around 100, you're in trouble. There was a 9-month period in my life where I was over 200. And it was not good. And the scripture that I went to during that time was the 23rd Psalm. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. And I think that helped me more during that difficult time than any of the other verses, because I wanted to be led to the green pastures and the still waters and have my soul restored.
Absolutely. I appreciate you sharing that with us. And I think it's amazing to see how many different facets of Scripture fit at different times in our lives and at different places. I know that there's a lot that's out there today that may be a little different than in years past. And so this time we'll kind of, I guess because I just want to confuse everybody, this time we'll start with Darren and go around that way, and we'll see if we can get that set. So if it gets quiet, it may just be your turn. So just jump in there. But what are some challenges that we have facing Christians today that you see, some of the biggest things that we need to be dealing with?
I think time is our biggest challenge. I think that probably always has been, but specifically today, there's more things that you can jam into your time, which is the most precious commodity you have, than there ever have been. You can stream your favorite series of a TV show and watch season after season. You can follow every move of your favorite sports team through Twitter or whatever universe you want to follow. And you can just be consumed by so many things now that in and of themselves aren't wrong. You know, these aren't necessarily bad things, but it becomes wrong when, or not a good thing anyway, when you have just jammed all of your time with it. And I think because of technology and the ability that we have to be in so many virtual places at one time, we lose track of our own time. And I think that might be one of the hardest things that we deal with today.
Absolutely. I think we can all relate to that. Monty?
I think along with time, to me, we sometimes as a world get the greatest commandment in the wrong direction, in that Satan tries to tempt us to think more of self and love self before we even think of others and think of God. And for me, as I look out in the world as a whole, I think the biggest problem with many individuals is they think of me before they think of anything else. And I think that that's one of the tricks that Satan is using today that we've got to be careful of.
I told Joey that I was going to use a horse illustration, and she said, I don't know why I should be surprised. But I think one of the things that's a challenge to spiritual growth is to have that growth undermined. And I think we can have it undermined by becoming desensitized to sin. In working with a horse that's afraid of sudden sounds or noises, I have taken a empty plastic grocery bag and put 3 or 4 empty aluminum cans in the bag, tie a knot at the top, tie it on my belt, and then just go about my business, just doing things that he's comfortable with. And he's not real happy about it at first. He's afraid of that sound. But in an amazingly short period of time, sound doesn't bother. He doesn't bother me. He doesn't care anymore. And I think it's really easy for all the noises that we hear to just completely desensitize us to sin, just like that horse is. He doesn't care about noise anymore.
Absolutely, and that short amount of time too is interesting. It doesn't take us long.
If you're doing something he's comfortable with, and that's in the background, eventually he's just desensitized.
Well, once again, Darren has hit on what I was thinking about. We're on the same wavelength tonight. I think time management is a big one. I was thinking about, I'll date myself, but this was back in the 80s. There used to be a Franklin Planner, I think, that the calendar that had sheets for each day of the year, and you were supposed to prioritize your activities that you plan for the next day in A or B or C categories. And of course the A's were the top priorities, and then B's less and C less. So you looked at what you wanted to get accomplished the next day and you prioritized in order to accomplish that. And if you missed some of them, like one that was in the C category or the B category, it really didn't matter because you wanted to get the A's done before anything else. And I think nowadays we've got so many activities with children and grandchildren and sports and whatever that we need to stop sometimes and just decide, you know, what are we going to accomplish today and what's most important for us.
Yeah, and placing things in the right category is such a key. Jeff?
On Monty's tune with this too, I'll take it a little maybe different direction in that I think people today, there's a people are almost overly independent in what they want to do, because if you want to know something now with technology and things like that, you can just go find it out. You don't have to ask anybody. You don't have to talk to anybody else. You can just go and find the answer. And when we're thinking about trying to grow spiritually, I don't think you can do that by yourself. Christianity is not something that is meant to go about alone. And you know, there's tons of different scripture on that, and I'll hit on this again later while we talk. But some of the best growth I think that I've ever experienced was while I was with other people, talking about scripture or talking about a verse, getting other people's opinions, and I think that kind of goes against what a lot of people want to do today. They just want to have their own opinions about things, and you're just supposed to accept what they think, right or wrong, because that's kind of the prevailing thought today. But if we're going to grow as Christians, we need each other, and we need to know what other people think about things, and we have to be willing to maybe admit that we don't have it all figured out yet.
That's absolutely, and that really leads us into kind of that next question. You talk about spiritual growth. Sometimes it's hard for us to have those conversations with people because it's maybe hard for us to be honest about maybe spiritual struggles or spiritual growth that we have. And then with different personalities, there are different practices or different habits that help certain people. So one of the questions I wanted to ask, it may just apply for you personally, and we may go around here and have completely different perspectives on this, but what are some things that you've learned, maybe some strategies or some tips that have helped you grow spiritually that you think might be a blessing to others? And this time we'll start with Monty and work our way around.
Getting back to the concept of prioritize. And for me, it's prioritize my time with the Lord through prayer and through study. And I think when we wake up each day, we need to know when in that day or several times during that day, am I going to pause and really communicate and spend time with my Lord through prayer and through study of His Word. I have something that I keep in several of my Bibles that says a Bible following apart probably belongs to someone whose life is not. And I think it's very important for us to make sure that we don't let the noise of the world cause us to forget about why we're here, and that is to honor our Father who's given us a hope of an eternal life.
My suggestions are very closely related to that. For me, my suggestion is to establish a specific time and a specific place to pray. And I know personalities are different. People's days are different. Some parts of your day are more predictable than others. But for me, if I don't do that, then prayer becomes something that happens when I get around to it. And I don't get around to it. So it's obviously in the course of a day, there are going to be days when you can't be at that specific place at that specific time. But if you've got that planned, then you can always reschedule. And the other thing that I've noticed is when you're in that place, even not at that time, you think about prayer. You associate that. So I think that's a positive thing. And then for me also, I really have to focus on not getting in what I call a restaurant mentality when I pray. You know, when you go in a restaurant, you sit down, you place an order, and then you're sitting there waiting for the order to come. And it's just natural for me, I guess it's human nature, to just sit down, drop my head, close my eyes, and start naming off the things I need for God to do. And so if I can make a specific place and time and get my priorities, then it happens. But if I don't plan for it, it doesn't happen.
Yeah. I also like that power of association. That really does make a difference. Jay?
Prayer and Bible study, like Monty said. Before we moved to Columbia, we used to live in Spring Hill, and there's a park across from the children's home on Kedron Road. And I used to go there 5 mornings a week and walk on that track. And the track is 9/10 of a mile long, and I would do 4 or 5 laps. And it would take me about 1 hour and 15 minutes to accomplish that each morning. But I took with me an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, double column, that had individuals' names on it that I prayed for while I walked. So I spent 1 hour and 15 minutes every morning praying. And it helped with the walking because I forgot about the walking and time just went by. And before you knew it, you were through with the 5 or 6 laps that you were going to do. But I prayed for elders and deacons and the church preachers and staff and shut-ins and people that were dealing with sickness and disease. And I had a whole list on that prayer list that I prayed for every morning when I walked. The other thing, Bible study. And my wife and I are completely different on this. She walks into a room, she's got to turn on the TV. A little noise in the background. Me, I like silence. So I have to go out in my garage and study. And when I'm preparing Bible lessons and I'm doing individual study, I go out where it's quiet, where there's no distractions. And I can concentrate. And I think for me that's important. No distractions and fully concentrate on what I'm looking at.
Absolutely. And you mentioned that with time already, but it seems like it's getting harder and harder for us to remove distractions from our lives because we're so accessible. It's an important point. Jeff?
To me, there's no substitute for being in the Word as much as you can. I think you mentioned something Sunday morning in the sermon about there's just something about God's Word that it just does something to you, to your heart or you know, whatever you're worried about at that time or whatever's on your mind, it always seems like something happens to come up in the sermon that relates to you, you know, when you're really into it. So number one is just to read the Bible more often. And then in addition to that, I like to read, you know, non-inspired works that are about the Bible. You know, there's several books by Francis Chan that I've read that have helped me along the way. Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster has been a good one. Commentaries just about the Word. But then to go a step further is to have discussions with other people about what you read. Because again, you can grow on your own, but not as much as you can in a group. So finding a few other individuals that are kind of doing the same things that you are, and then sitting down and really having meaningful discussions about that, I think is huge. And not being afraid to ask questions. I think sometimes growing up, you think that if you ask a question about something you read in the Bible, that that's questioning God somehow. And that's kind of a bad feeling. You know, you don't want to feel like you're questioning God, but questions help us learn. And learning helps us grow. If you then take that and apply it to your life, hopefully Darren doesn't hit on this, but I think he possibly might. Get uncomfortable would be what I would say. I think one of the biggest things that keeps us from growing is we get comfortable, and then we just want to stay on that comfortable path and never get outside of that comfort zone. Whether that's, you know, if you've never taught a class before, maybe try to teach a class. If you've never gone on a mission trip, try to go on a mission trip. If you've, you know, never had discussions with people about the Word before, try to do that. Because I think growth only happens when there's a little bit of uncomfortable uneasiness there. That shows us that we're trying to get somewhere we've never been before.
I don't think there's anything else to say. I think a combination of all these guys have taken a lot of what I've said, but to piggyback on some things that Jeff just said, was I've said that in the Wednesday night men's class more than once, and I know that growth does happen when you're uncomfortable. Because when you're comfortable, you are just who you are and where you are, whatever that is. And it's not necessarily right or wrong, but it's not moving any more forward towards anything else. So to grow, my answer to the question was I needed to find a challenge or a project to sink my teeth into. One of the biggest ones for me has been Vance Hendrickson asking me to help teach this Wednesday night men's class, which caused me to have to study, to have to be prepared, have a lesson, have something to bring and discuss with these guys, that I wasn't always reading the Bible like I should. I wasn't always praying as much as I should. I become more restaurant-like, like Mark says. It's like, I've got these needs in my life. I need to make these orders. But being involved, reading more, finding something that holds you accountable to it, and don't be ashamed. Like, I dealt with this for the longest time of feeling guilty about, I don't read enough. I don't read enough. And all I would do is just be guilty about not reading enough and never read anymore until I found I'll read more when I'm having coffee with Jeff and we're going to discuss a class we're going to teach, or, hey, I've got this class coming up. You know, let me bounce some ideas off you guys. Or if I, you know, I'll may text or email Andrew, I've got these questions. That keeps me engaged. That keeps me going. Don't just get caught in your little bubble. You've got to find a way to step out of that a little bit, one step at a time, just to go towards growth.
Absolutely. And one thing I've noticed, too, that's involved in that is understanding yourself and understanding what you respond to best and kind of seeing how... one of the questions that we have... So, I don't want to throw you guys off. To what advice and perhaps is struggling with maybe burnout, maybe feeling like I've just been going and going and kind of feeling burnout in the ministry I'm involved in, or maybe even struggling with some doubts or something that's happened in life. And I guess we'll go down and start on Mark on this one, but what guidance would you give someone? Chances are we all either have been there or will be there. And so what would be some advice you would have?
I guess from a human nature standpoint, when we're faced with a struggle or we're faced with a challenge, we want to understand why. And I think that desire to understand why can be the first couple of steps into a downward spiral. And I think also if we just stop in our tracks and just observe the world around us, it's pretty easy to convince ourselves that we're the only ones that are dealing with that struggle. I know Bill McDonald has said that from a grief standpoint, at any point in time, 3% of the population is grieving. 3%. So if we go to Kroger and we look around, and it's really easy to convince ourselves, I'm the only one that's dealing with this.
Yeah.
And then when we have that desire to understand why, as Monty just read a while ago, Proverbs tells us to trust in the Lord with all our heart and to not rest on our own understanding. Even though I think that's a natural tendency to want to understand. And that's not to say that reading that and knowing that is an easy couple of steps up out of that spiral. But I think identifying that as part of our challenge helps with dealing with that challenge.
For someone that's struggling and dealing with thinking about quitting and burnout, there has to be a reason that you got involved with what you're involved with now. And I think, especially in church work, you need to go back to that beginning and to look at why you got involved in the first place. Sort of refresh your memory and the excitement that you had, and just stop and consider why you did it to start with and decide, do I want to keep doing it for that reason? And if not, then cast it aside and go on with something else. But I think you have to, again, prioritize things that you're doing. And if you're involved in too much, you need to cut some of it out and just concentrate on things that really matter to you and you think can make a difference in your life and the lives of others that you do associate with in that work.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's possible to be stretched thin doing a lot of things that are good, but that could also cause some burnout. And so taking stock of that's important. Jeff?
Yeah, as far as burnout, those were my thoughts exactly, what Jerry just said. It's okay to take a step back sometimes. Sometimes it can be okay to... Sometimes you can be involved in too much, and then that gets into how much time do I have to do other things that I need to do in my life. But I think that can also turn into a danger if you don't ever get back involved. And so I think that would be the one thing that I would watch out for, is if I do take a step back, if I'm burnt out, I don't need to stay back. Eventually, there's going to be a time when I need to go back forward. And as far as, doubts and struggling, I kind of agree with Mark on that one too. I know there's been times in the past where when I was struggling, I thought I was probably the only one struggling. And I thought, why don't I have it together like all these other people that are here? And just coming to the realization that, there's tons of other people that are struggling also, that, what I see in that, 2 hours at church or what I see for an hour on a Wednesday night, maybe isn't, exactly what's going on in their life sometimes. And that maybe I need to talk to somebody. I think this is where your support system comes in. Being involved with people around you, and if you're having conversations with people on a regular basis, they can notice maybe when things are going bad, and having that sort of accountability partner, so to speak, that you can really talk to when you're struggling, even without necessarily getting into the why, sometimes just unloading that you're struggling is a good way to get back on the right track.
As far as the burnout part of the question for a longtime Christian, I think it's been said many times, and I'll just repeat it, and that is, if you're very active, I think you need to take a step back. You may have too many things you've taken on that are consuming you, and you're not having enough time to, you know, kind of recoup from the last project or whatever you were in, and you really just need a little time to step back and reflect, and like Jerry said, kind of think about what was the purpose of how you got to where you were, and reflect on that. Another thing is, if you're not very active, which I don't know that anybody's really hit on that yet, if you're attending regularly, but you're not really involved in a lot of things, and you may be, you know, having some sort of burnout or doubts issue, become more active. It's almost like the flip-flop for the two, that if you're very active, maybe, you know, your burnout's coming from being stretched too thin. In the same case, if you're not doing a lot of things, you're not involved, you're not teaching, you're not helping out in some way particularly, but even though you're loyal and always here, maybe become a little bit more active. And that may, you'll get to know people that in a way, or and maybe to some people you've never known before, which then creates relationships and goes right back to what Jeff's saying, is you're having regular conversations, having a network and a family that we all are, but having a deep relationship with everyone by being involved. Then when you're having doubts, it makes it easier to approach them. Maybe they'll say, you know, like Jeff said, they may see that in you, say that you're struggling with something. Let's talk about that. Well, if you're working with people, you get to know people and you get to trust with people. And you're not just coming out of the blue saying, hey, Andrew, I've got this thing. And where if you already have a relationship, it's a lot easier to kind of see that that person needs to talk about something.
I know now why Andrew has been doing what he's doing, because when you're the last person to answer a question, it's sort of like, okay, that point's already been said. There's a two-letter word that we as Christians, I think, are afraid to say, and that is no. And I think there are times in our life that we've got to be willing to say, I know that would be a good work, but I'm already involved in several things, and I just don't have the time to take that on right now. But so often as a Christian, we feel like that the word no should never be in our vocabulary. And along with that is to help an individual not get into burnout. We as older, mature Christians need to ask ourselves, are we modeling what to do to make sure we don't get to that point? Are we remembering what Jesus did, in that very often he would get up early in the morning and get away and have that time with his Father to recharge his battery so that he would not be burned out? And that's the question we sometimes need to ask ourselves. If we are getting close to burnout, are we truly taking that backing up time that we need to take to recharge our battery with the Lord?
Appreciate that. Necessarily gotten to, but we're going to go around one more time, so that way everybody will get to go first and last. So that'll be good. But we have a couple other questions, so I'll let you guys choose which one you want to answer. One of the questions was, what advice would you give to someone who's just become a Christian, who just put Christ on in baptism, and they're coming to you for advice, from more of, instead of an individual standpoint, a group standpoint? What can we do individually that'll help the church as a whole grow spiritually? So just whichever one of those you guys want to tackle, we'll start with Jerry and work our way around.
I'm glad you mentioned in your little devotional about hearing things that you don't want to hear. When Judy and I were looking at churches in the Columbia area, trying to decide where to place membership, for several months we were only able to attend in the Columbia area on Sunday night because we had commitments at the congregation we were going to. We were teaching classes or involved in other things. So we only got to see Graymere on Sunday night. We saw a congregation with a half-full auditorium. The singing wasn't that good. And we had a tough time trying to decide, is this where we want to come? Just based on Sunday night. So finally, when we got our commitments finished and the quarter was over, we got to come on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. And it was totally different, except for Wednesday nights, because the attendance is down then, too. But we came very close not coming to Graymere because of the half-empty auditorium. So for number six, what can we do as individual members? I think, to start with, we need to attend all the services. Because it's encouraging when other people are here. If you see a half-empty auditorium, it's not. And to attend the classes, attend the events that are going on, get involved as much as you can, because that encourages people. If you've only got one or two people doing an activity, it doesn't encourage them as many as six or a dozen. So I'll stop there.
Absolutely. Well, it's true. Even on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, we don't know who will encourage just by being there, even if we're tired. And I know Wednesday night, I know we're all tired, you know, but being here, there's no telling who will encourage. Jeff?
I'll hit on that last one, too, real quick. What can we do as individual members to help the congregation grow spiritually? I think we all have to want to grow, first of all. You know, we can't be just satisfied with where we're at, no matter where we're at, whether you're, you know, a brand new Christian or whether you've been a Christian for 70 years, you have to still want to grow. And I think that involves a lot of the things that we've already talked about. But you have to be willing to admit to yourself that there's another place that you can get to, and then you have to take the actions necessary to get there. And then I think just fellowship, you know, is to me one of the greatest things. And I think that's been a kind of a common theme, tonight. But everybody here, no matter where they're at, still has more they can learn. And everybody here has something they can teach someone else too. And so just being willing to do that, I think, would help the whole congregation grow.
Well, the last two questions, I kind of had a struggle as to which one to address, because I think they're both very important questions. And since the previous gentleman have already went with number six, I'll take number four. And that was, what advice would you give a new Christian who has just put on Christ in baptism? And I can only reflect back to things that I lived through, because I'm only me. And that was, it was one of the greatest emotional highs and sensations, followed shortly by after one of the greatest lows. Because no one prepared me for how you're going to feel, and then how life's not different. People will let you down. And that was kind of a startling thing for me. So if I could say in a nutshell for that, if there was a way we could have like an aftercare for, you know, maybe it's with youth or helping with JD or something, or whoever, whatever age they are, helping them with, this is the first major big step. It won't be the last step you take, because you're going to have to step into some things that are uncomfortable through this process.
That's a great idea.
Both of those questions are very good questions. I'm sort of going to be like the other gentleman, leaning more toward number six. How do I share, in order to help people to grow? Many of us not only use the written word in our study, but we use our smartphone. And let me encourage you, if you do use your smartphone from time to time, I try to, on a daily basis, share out a verse. And I have several social networking sites that I try to do that on. I do it on Facebook, I do it on Twitter, I do it on other social networking sites that I'm a part of. And I always have people come back and say, thank you. Because getting back to what you mentioned earlier, sometimes we get busy. We don't take that time to really reflect upon any part of God's Word. And just seeing that pop up causes us to stop for a minute and, if anything, at least reflect upon that particular verse. And many times when I teach, I use my smartphone to share what I'm teaching in class. And I had one of my graduate students every Wednesday night, she had two teenage girls that they rushed to the computer to turn it on to be ready to get my class. And when we stopped that Wednesday night class, the graduate student called me up and said, girls are asking, where are you? Where are you? And I had to explain that we have the class all the time. But that was encouraging to her and her children who were not members of the church. But it was giving them an opportunity to really understand what Jesus was saying. And so take advantages that we have to share.
I guess in a sentence, I would say on the advice to give to new Christians, both recognize the need and embrace the need to replace certain aspects of your life from which you're turning away. Because there'll be voids when you make that decision and you make that step, you're turning away from parts of your life, and that'll need to be filled with something.
Powerful. I appreciate all of you guys being part of this. I know it's been a blessing to me, and it's been a blessing to all of us. We'll have our prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for times like this where we can talk about these things, where we can encourage one another, and we can spur each other on to growth and to doing more for you. We pray that you'd be with this congregation as we seek to serve you every day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.